Blog Talk Radio.
Anybody who knows the song, sing along.
Oh yeah, and anybody that knows this song, which most of you do, you're welcome to sing along. So if you all stand up.
Good to have you all here again.
I was remembering this me and one of my bros were talking to young girls. The young girls were there. The young girl said, "I like how these old guys talk, man. They're cool." You know, talking about me and my bro. She said, "They don't say all right. They said all right." Those guys sound cool. They say all right. Sometimes I guess we sound cool, but I try not to sound like somebody else, you know. You know, we have a lot of culture sabotage going on, and I see it really bad. Like the cops chased a couple around Rapid City, Indian couple. Then the guy got out and ran, knowing he's going to get caught, you know. And the picture they got of him, he got big tattoo on his neck, you know, some kind of, he's imitating somebody else. You know, I could see when you're raised in another culture, sometimes it's, you know, it's like anything else. If you, like I always tell people, if you hang around with someone driving a Cadillac, pretty soon you're going to have a Cadillac. But these guys are res guys, but they watch these videos and they see stuff and hear about MS-13. So they, just like when Al-Qaeda came out, they started trying to look like Al-Qaeda, covering their face up like Al-Qaeda. The Indians want to copy somebody, you know, instead of trying to appreciate who they are and who their ancestors are and how we looked, you know. You know, our ancestors, they didn't run around with their heads scarfed all up, wearing masks. Heokas did, but I mean, in general, they didn't run around trying to look cool with some kind of face covering like Al-Qaeda or all this stuff, you know. You know, I kind of try to tell people, because it's kind of like I learned the hard way, you know. You know, I was, you know, we talk about this all the time, so I don't want to get back into it again. But I see another page, Indians. Well, they're promoing Indian rappers on there, and these Indian rappers are imitating the Hassa up to the T. And then this guy on the who has the page, yeah, we need to support our native brothers. Look at them, you know. Hell, I don't see no reason to support people that let this black ghetto thing sabotage our culture. I don't agree with that, you know. Anyway, you got to watch out who you hang out with too, because, you know, you never know. I was reading, you know, about serial killers. And in this country, 83% serial killers are white boys. And around the world, it's like more than 90%. But the Americans, other countries don't have very few serial killers, you know. But the Americans take the cake in serial killers. And they said 15% are black. And like 2% are others, you know, like, I don't know, maybe if they could find an Indian serial killer to fit into 2%, you know. You know, but so watch out who you hang out with. And a lot of the missing women, indigenous women who got found murdered, and they found out who did it, like in Oregon and Montana and other places. And I believe over here too, you know, we have people disappeared. But the majority of it was white men that killed these Indians, kidnapped them, murdered them, sold them on the side of the road. And up in Canada, there's a lot of that going on. So I believe it's them white boys, you know. That's the kind of world they live in. I was just going through some things before we take off, you know, and you know, I was reading about these Hawaiians. They convicted them for a hate crime, for whipping a white boys, or like they call them, haole, you know, haole, or I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, but that's what they call white boys, because they live in a community, indigenous community, and some rich white boy went and bought the land over there around them and then started putting fence up. So they put gates there in there. He cut their gates. He went over and cut their gates, you know, and started, you know, being arrogant with them. So a couple of these Hawaiian guys went over, you know, first they warned him. But, you know, you can't warn a white guy. They're dead stupid, you know. They say, I got my rights. That's a favorite line, white boy. I got my rights. They don't got no rights with a bullet or a fist, you know, a fist in their face. How are their rights going to stop that from coming, you know? But they're so stupid. I got my rights. I was watching one on TV. Some cops pulled him over, and he rolled down the window just an inch. He said, I got my rights. They asked him what his name was. I don't have to tell you my name. I got my rights. Article blah, blah, this and law this. And he started quoting law and stuff. And the cop said, I need to know who you are. You know, you're driving this car and the registration ain't right. Well, I don't need to tell you about that either. I got my rights. He kept telling them this. Finally, the cop said, you know what? You can discuss all your rights when you go to court, you know. He said, right now, maybe you won't even be arrested. We just need to know who you are. And you have a simple pulled over for a violation, your license plate or something, you know. He said, so, you know, just tell us who you are. Let's get this out the way. Well, I got my rights. I don't need to give you no ID or nothing, blah, blah, blah. And finally, the guy said, well, this ain't going to work. There's only two ways this is going to end. He said, either you're going to get out of that car yourself, or we're going to get you out of that car. I got my rights, he said. Next thing, those cops God has jerked his door open and started pulling them out, and he started leaning to the right. So they said, he's reaching for something, he's reaching for something. Those cops backed off, and all four of them blasted him. Yeah, he had some rights, all right. You know, they blasted his ass, you know. But that's how they are. I got my rights. And then they do it so much. I seen this Indian woman. They pulls her over. She said, I got my rights, my constitutional rights. She still went to jail. Why stand and argue with these cops about your rights, you know? Just get your ticket or whatever and get the hell on. That's what I did the other day when the cops stopped me last week or whenever that was. Cop said, I got it for speeding. Where at over there? I wasn't speeding. And then he said, yeah, I got you. I said, okay. That was it. He took off, and then he came back. I'm just going to give you a warning, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, he let me go, you know. But you see, you can't argue with them. But well, she true? I got my rights, you know. Well, we got rights too. But they don't matter to them, you know. We'll talk a little bit about that. As a matter of fact, we'll talk about the Major Crimes Act. You know, we had seven major crimes back in the day, a Major Crimes Act. And then they jacked it up to about 14, I think, you know, or 13. I went to school, I think it was 14. But because it's modern times and they added new things from the seven that they originally had from back in 1885, when they made the Major Crimes Act, because Crow Dog killed Spotted Tail. And they dealt with it tribally. But some other Indians, some Americanized Indians, and then some started oppressing the Washichu, and the Washichu didn't like it either. A lot of Indians getting away with murder. So they hustled. Anyway, they got Crow Dog and took him in, and they started a Major Crimes Act. And we'll kind of touch base on that a little bit. And I said this last week, but anyway, happy birthday, Larry, if you hear me. I don't know when his birthday is, but yeah, I don't know what year it was, I tell you that, but I know he was probably born in 1980-something or something like that, you know. He's a little bit older than me, but let me see. I'm 32, so he must be about 34, 35. 36, you know. So anyway, I was thinking about those Hawaiians, you know, kicking that guy's butt, you know. Two of them, out of all the Hawaiians over there, two of them came out and did something, you know. Same way over here, you know. We got all these Indians killing each other, beating each other up. I was talking, running around with tattoos all over their neck and face and acting tough with each other. But why don't we at least have two of them to go do something like these two Hawaiians did? Honor the two Hawaiians. And only two of them out of everybody went over there and whipped his ass. That's all they did, was they kicked his ass. But they sent them to prison for hate crimes because they told them why they kicked, because you don't belong here because you're a Haole, you know, and they looked it up and they said that's racist and all that. So they gave them a hate crime and sent them. Anyway, you know, that ain't even right. This guy, that's what they do. They come in with their money and start getting arrogant. And his wife said, his wife, the Washichu's wife, said, well, that ain't going to stop nothing. You can't stop it, you know, by beating people up. Well, maybe they can't stop it, but let's see if he likes living on his land with a bunch of black eyes and broken bones, you know. And I'm not promoting violence, but he asked for it. He started cutting their fences, their padlocks, and started throwing his weight around in their place. They told him, you don't even belong here. And that's what happened. And blah, blah, blah.
Oh, shit.
Our like the Washichu says, what's the favorite line? I can't think of it right now, but they got a line they say, you know, and do-da-de-da or something, you know. And, you know, anyway, Toshi, I'll let you lead us off here. So
that's it. We'll say a prayer and, can you hear me out there? Toshi?
Yeah, you don't even need to say that. I already responded to you early. You know, I heard you from the group, Bill, so that, yeah.
I'm getting hard of hearing you.
Session repeated. Yeah, well.
All right, let's get it. So we'll say a prayer and then we'll get started here. Now they have a week, a son, a child, a hinder, a young, a woman, 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 a young Kukashan Hokwaki Poganish Domini, we tied to Baki, Umashila, we tied you, Haka, Kukashla, Kidera Stok, Hoyva, Lolesta, Ushuki La Port, Kukashla, how Mitakias.
You know, we were talking about earlier, me and you, Darcy, about Major Crimes Act. You know, we could get into that a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, anyway, we could get it. We'll get into that. But let me say something since I mentioned it to you, you know, for you out there. We're using Washichu Toys here, Blog Talk Radio and all this stuff, and we're using it. So sometimes it isn't the best, you know, and sometimes like maybe like me, I sometimes hope that you're hearing me good. But I get a message saying loud and clear. After that, it's okay. And same with you. If I can't hear you, I'm going to tell you, hey, I can't hear you. You know? So, and keep in mind that when your buttons are turned on, you know, and I click you on, we hear everything that goes on behind you. And when you're doing things behind you, it affects what's going on over the air. Like right now, somebody, I don't know what the hell. but you know, I was just trying to say, kind of help us out with that background noise when you're turned on, you know. I mean, especially if you're gonna cut one, you know. I mean, the good thing is we can't smell it, you know. So I could say cut all you want, you know. But you know, I mean, there was times when I did this show. There was about three or four people snoring, just snoring away, you know. And we hear everything, and, you know, a couple guys really snoring, and people is calling this was the old man's radio show, you know. And, to tell you the truth, it is the old man's radio show. That's why we do crazy stuff here, you know. Good thing our feet don't make noise and you can smell them. You know, those things you can't smell a beat over the internet. Because at least as far as cutting one, we're like I take a cap full of vanilla in my coffee every morning. That way when I cut one I smell like vanilla. You know? So at least we got solutions, you know. Modern solutions. Those solutions. But hey, let me ask you before we go on about this other topic. What do you think about them Hawaiians? Them two Hawaiians. They sent them to 1 6 years and 4 years for whipping a Washichu. I mean, they just gave them an ass whipping. That's all they did. But they're sending them to prison for hate crime.
You know, Tanshi, me myself, they did what was right. Because why are they on the, why are these Howleys on these guys' land in the first place? You know,
exactly.
Like I said, look at this invasive species. Everywhere they go, they fence something off, square something off. That's mine. Get out of here, you know. And it doesn't belong to them. Those Hawaiians did what they should be doing over there, you know? I mean, what right do these guys, what right does a Washichu from down somewhere else have a right to sell these guys' land? Who authorized that, see? They come and they play this God thing. These white people, they're not like that. Look at all these cop shootings. That's a God complex. And these Washitos, they have that bad, real bad. And those Hawaiians for doing this shit, me, myself, I love that, see?
Yeah.
Because they stood up for their Mother Earth, their piece of land. That's theirs. This guy floated in on a ship. They didn't, see? And that's what I keep saying. Why are these bold people trying to run the show? They don't even acknowledge us. Look at these Hawaiians. They didn't acknowledge those guys. They threw them in jail right away. What did they do? They threw them in jail. Why? They don't even see what these guys are talking about. But yet, that Muslim scar, that money that white man has, that's what they look at. Because they're the ones
who's
that sold him that money.
Tell me this. Who's the hater? Are they the hater? Are the Washitu the hater? Are the federal government the haters?
They're
because
all haters.
They're
Washington
not the haters.
They're locking them up
because they hate them. They hate them. They gave them a hate crime because they hate them. You know? When you're defending your land, that ain't hate.
No, it's not.
When you're coming on my land, you're the hater.
Yep.
You got no business coming on my land. You're the hater. If I defend my land, then suddenly I'm the hater? And it's a hate crime?
That don't make sense. Don't make sense. No, that's
you
the
know,
problem with these howling.
And you see the bad thing about that, how they treat them. You know, they don't have a major crimes act. They just treat them like the regular white race. You know, Indians, we got to violate the Major Crimes Act. But you see, those Hawaiians don't have that. They just, Washitu just goes over there and buys up with money. There's some of them islands up north that are owned totally by Washitu, owns them.
Yep, Japanese.
Washitu with money comes in and buys the land. No, mostly white boys. At least Japanese are, kind of more respectful to the Hawaiians. But anybody that goes over there is an invasive species. And they made those islands tourist spots.
Yeah.
When indigenous Hawaiians, that's their homeland. That's like us at Wounded Knee. We live over there. We drive around there and all that, think nothing of it. But here comes white boys, their cameras and stuff up there, you know. To them, it's tourists. They come down on the res, tourism, you know. Let's go to White Clay and see some drunk Indians. Drive through there and whip their cameras out the windows like they're in Lion Country Safari, you know? And that's what they do.
Yeah.
And you know, we have no control of that because the federal government protects them. If we do something to them, there we go, like the Hawaiians, those two Hawaiian dudes, you know, for doing something to the Haoles. Is that how you said Haoles?
Haoles, yeah.
Haole? Haole, yeah. I'm glad they got a word for them.
Yeah, Haoles. Yeah. They call them Haoles, those guys.
Haoles, huh? Yeah.
Haoles, you know, and that's, you know, the thing about, you know, that's like I'm saying. Why do these Washitus fence off an area and say, oh, that's mine? Who authorized them to, you know, those Hawaiians, they live there. That's theirs. Why are these guys going over there and saying, oh, that's mine? Because some Washitu authorized it somewhere, see? And when we do that, it's illegal. What is that about? We didn't float in on a ship. They did. And we ain't Christian. See? And that's the problem. And that's why this Pope and his Doctrine of Discovery, they got to go, see? Because even the Supreme Court, separation of church and state, that's bull. They still use that. And then that's what they do. Oh, the doctrine of discovery. You got to be Christian because we're looking at it. This is ours now, see. That's, you know, that's how this invasive species act, man. That they own everything. They did try to own everything and destroy everything. And they're taking us down with them. Same with these Hawaiians. Look at these guys that did that. I don't blame them for doing that. They invaded that. They invaded that these Hawaiians. They're only standing up for Uchimaka. What was theirs? That's theirs. They should be able to walk through there, use whatever they want, do whatever. But yet these guys fence it off. Oh, that's my land. You know? Then when they get confronted by reality, then all these Washitas, then they throw these guys in prison. There's no justice for us. There's never been. You know, and that's why I talked to you about this 7 Major Crimes Act, can't you? You know, that's at least finally there's a judge in Colorado that questioned that highway to prison for Native Americans on reservations. They charge a guy with the highest crime possible of violence. And they have no evidence of it. But yet they drag him off the reservation, put him in the federal court. And the judge looks at he said he did his homework. And his question was to the prosecutor, when did these Native Americans in Congress come to agreement with these laws that you're trying to prosecute this guy for? He said, when did that happen? He said, I wasn't made aware of it. And he said, now you're trying to have me judge this guy for a misdemeanor? He said, simple assault. He said, you guys painted him to be a major criminal, but now he just assaulted somebody? He said he didn't feel comfortable taking a case because that should have been at the tribal level. And he didn't want to intrude on the sovereign nation's rights. You know, and that's like these Hawaiians. Look at how they treat them. You know, all these people, these Washitos, think that there's no more Hawaiians. They think that Hawaiian people are a tourist attraction. When they go there, they have to wiggle their ass around with these grass skirts and do this, you know, dance around. There's natives. There's real people that live there. They have their own ways. Do these Washitos respect that? Hell no. They never respect nothing. The same problem, like she said, wounded knee. Why do they have to snap? You know, we don't go to Arlington Cemetery and start snapping pictures. If we did that, they'd get arrest us and accuse us of terrorism or something. You know, that's how they are. You know, and yet, look at the big grave robbers they are. You know, all these things that they do is. And they say it's illegal for us to do it.
Yeah. What if we dug up Custer's grave or Lincoln's grave or somebody and say, you know, we want to check his DNA out.
Yep.
we got right to dig up Lincoln and check his DNA and see what made him tick. You know, or George Washington or whoever else. You know.
See which white country came from, you know? See which one of the European countries they come from, you know?
See what ape kind he came from, orangutan or gorilla or what, you know? Let's check his DNA, you know? See which you know, he comes from, you know? But they, you know, they're over, even today, as we speak, there's archaeologists digging around someplace, examining some bones someplace, you know, and they think nothing of it, you know.
You know, Tosi, just a little bit ago, in the state of South Dakota, Look at what all those Washichos did. The stealing of native kids off the reservation. They're still allowing that. You know, there's no protections for native kids because it's a lucrative business. And they talk about this human trafficking. They're the biggest human traffickers there is because when it comes down to the nitty-gritty, like I was saying, an Indian child is worth 73,000 or was, and the Washichu and these other races are 15,000. See, and they're still doing it. Just a little bit ago, there's an uproar about Indian Child Welfare Act in South Dakota because they don't want to protect it. That's these Washichus and their laws. They ain't for us. Everything is geared against us except for the money-making thing. As long as there's big bucks there, that's what they're after. They don't protect us. They don't do nothing. They want to destroy us. I don't blame those two Hawaiians at all for doing what they did. As a matter of fact,
you
must think I'm proud of them.
Why was there only two of them? There should have been four of them. Or there should have been 20 of them.
There should have been 100 of them. Yeah.
Yeah. You see, same way with us. Look at these Indians are killing each other. They fight each other. I seen one walking down the road with a black eye and hauling a baseball bat, and he had a bloody mouth. He was walking down the road. I said, damn, what the hell? You know? I mean, it looked like he got a baseball bat, and he's going after some vengeance, you know? I said, damn, Kilgore's that way. Kilgore's that way. Hey, go that way, you know? You know? But, you know, these Indians, they don't care about our condition, the Washichu put us in. They don't care. All they care about is being tough to each other.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, this one Indian they got a crime picture of this Indian. They chased a couple around Rapid City and stopped them. They got pictures of them. This Indian, Rez Indian, got tattoos on his face and all over. And looking at taking a mean photo, you know, ain't going to do him no good. He's off the streets now because they got him for running from the mask. They found some drugs in the car. He got a gun, ex-felon with a gun. Man, he's gone. You know, he can look tough one time in a picture, and the rest of the time he's over there. He's over there trying not to drop soap in the shower, you know. For the next 15 years. Is that how you want to live? Is that how they want to live? You know? Running around, fighting each other, trying to look cool with each other. Man, we got the enemy right out there, right across the borderline here.
Yep.
And like, that's why I like those Hawaiians, two of them. You know? There should have been all of them, but two of them did it. Well, you know, over here, you know, one time in Porcupine, some white boys came in and kicked in a door of one of some Lakotas to repo a car. You know?
Yeah.
And they just get away with doing all kinds of stuff, you know? But what if the Lakota shot their ass?
Yep.
Then he'd been treated like Leonard Peltier.
Yep. Big old. And, damn. Crazy how they treated him.
And you know. Damn. Yeah. And you know, like the Major Crimes Act. You know, the Congress passed that part of it, those seven major crimes, back in 1883, because Crow Dog killed Spotted Tail. But, you know, and you know what gets me about these Indians, like, especially, you know, like some Rosebudder said, yeah, those are my people. He's all proud that his people were the ones ratting. You know, historically ratting, you know, That's why they made the Major Crimes Act, and that's why it turned into 14 Major Crimes Act now, because the Indians want those crimes. Like, yeah, I'll get jumped on for saying this, but like my own niece was sitting there with Obama on there and talking about rape. Yeah, I understand that. I'm against rapers too. But this is rape. You know, they were blaming Indians for rapes. And all she did was make a crime that attacks Indian men to give them more time for rape.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
Obama was patting her on the back. She was putting on a crying show. And there was a story behind the real rape charge, if it was considered rape, you know. But
yeah.
Since in a court, somebody was convicted and all that. So people would just say, I'm a liar and I'm sympathetic to crime or whatever, you know. Or like if you stand up for somebody, they'll say, well, you just admit it, you're a pedophile because
yeah.
you support some. That's how they get you. And it's our own people that
yep.
do this, their own tribal government. They're the ones let the feds come in and haul
yep.
people away from Major Crimes Act violations. And it's just like the Major Crimes Act. The first seven of them was murder, manslaughter, rape, assault with intent to kill, arson, burglary, and larceny. Those
yeah.
were the first ones. But since that time, with those, they added maiming, they added sexual abuse. Yeah, I guess they need that, you know. They added incest to it, Major Crimes Act. They added assault with a weapon, you know, like nowadays they're using
yeah.
rifles and stuff. So that's how come they got all these and felony child abuse or neglect against Indian children, you know.
Yeah.
But here's what gets me. They have burglary. And then they have sex crime, you know. like a sodomy, you know, they add a sodomy
yeah.
and stuff, you know. Those are later crimes, you know. It's so they add to them. But yet, here's the other thing. Is narcotics under the Major Crimes Act? Nope. Is bootlegging under the Major Crimes Act? Nope. What do they call that when you don't pay child support? Is child support a Major Crimes Act? They come and nab you for child support right off the rest. And drugs. Okay. They say the Major Crimes Act, here's what it is. And I went to school for this. You know, I mean it. You know, I'm not trying to brag, you know, but I took law school. They were giving it at Oglala Lakota College, you know, and one of the classes I'll go ahead. Let me go ahead and start brag. Okay. I took reservation law. Right. I'm a boast a little bit. Boasting time. I took reservation law, and I got a good grade out of that class, as a matter of fact, you know? And that's how I became I was a public defender for the Oglala Sioux tribe. You remember that, don't you? Say yes,
yeah.
please, because I'm boasting.
Yeah, you know, I wanted you to brag, don't you? That was the problem, man, you know? I wanted to brag about it. God dang, it's good to hear that, man. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah.
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 So, you know, you
anyway.
Gotta, you know, I'm proud to, I'm related to what's his name, a law student, and you know, Indian law student.
And
I'm bragging you too.
You're related to a good bragger, you know.
There you go. I'm bragging you up too.
And you know what? So I studied this reservation law, and I always had a different feeling about this, but I looked at people in the class, other Indians. They were all gung-ho about the Major Crimes Act and locking up Indians. I ain't gung-ho about that, because I think that we should be dealing with our own issues. You know, I think our people should have a structure that's powerful enough to deal with the Indian when he murders another Indian. You know, when an Indian murders another Indian, remember, you guys are turned on now.
Yeah, government.
You guys are turned on, so I think that our people should be strong enough and sophisticated enough to deal with the guy who murders another Indian, or a guy who kidnaps an Indian, or maims an Indian, or rapes an Indian, or stuff like that, you know? But the Major Crimes Act had to do with crimes against an Indian, a crime. It has to be a crime against an Indian. You have to hurt an Indian by stealing from them, killing them, robbing them, kidnapping them, raping them, and all this. But I never understood how drugs was a crime against an Indian, because it's got to be crime against an Indian, not crimes against Indians, but crime against Indian. So when someone buys some pot from you, he's buying it for himself to toot up, right? So he can feel good. Or he's buying drugs or whatever. He's doing it for his own self.
Yeah.
It's not a crime against him. You know, the government don't like it.
No.
I don't like it either. You know, I mean, I don't like to see a drug person dealing drugs to kids or stuff like that. But yet, same way with bootlegging. How is a guy buying a jug of wine? He's buying it with his own money because he wants that wine, but the bootlegger's guilty and goes to federal court, goes to federal prison. You see, some of these laws that they're sending people aren't crimes against the Indian, crimes that the United States doesn't like, crimes that the United States considers a crime, not a reservation crime. A crime against, you know. So that's why they made the Major Crimes Act, because they didn't like it, because Crow Dog was getting away from American justice by killing the Indian, and he wasn't going to go to a prison over it, you know. And there was Washichu, like senators, and Washichu's with some status in life, that some Indians ran to them and complained that Crow Dog's getting away with this and away with that, and they need to do something about it. Help us out, you know? So that's why they made the Major Crimes Act. It had to do with our people wanting more punishment, you know? And a lot of that had to do with families, because like Crow Dog and spotted tail, those are two families. And so the ones who support the spotted tail family, you know, it was, in other words, it wasn't, it was more of a personal deal. You know what I mean? It's personal. Crow dog killed spotted tail. That was personal. And that was under Indian, at the time, with natives, with Lakotas. So, but the government didn't like it because they got complaints about it. So that's why they went ahead and dragged Crow Dog, took him to federal court. Same way with all our tribal leaders that went to, even Spotted Tail himself went to prison, you know. He went to prison. I forget what for. I probably could look it up, but he went to prison. And that's why Rosebudders, for a long time, you could be an ex-felon and be on the tribal council, but now they cut that off. You can't be a felon no more. Anyway, but the Major Crimes Act, that doesn't even belong in our life. But how many of you are happy when they send the Indian to prison? It's like Leonard Peltier. There's a bunch of Indians that don't like him. They have their reasons, and maybe some of them are good. But they're the ones, because they don't like him, they want him in prison. And they stand in that line of people saying he's guilty. And the federal government likes it when Indians are on their side. You see, when they got Indians on their side, that makes their claim against the Indian more legit. You know, if Indians would quit porting the American with the Major Crimes Act, it'd be different. It'd be harder, because I was reading how the Major Crimes Act, how there's some issues in the Major Crimes Act that prejudiced by the Washitu. In other words, what happened was the Washitu is selling this. He said, well, only 37% of Indians get charged for the Major Crimes Act. The prosecutor doesn't always indict, you know. That's what he's saying, you know. Prosecutor doesn't always indict. So, I don't agree with that, you know, because what they're saying is they don't send a lot of Indians to prison when they do. They're saying the prosecutor doesn't, they're saying only 37% of the referrals by the tribe are accepted by the government. And that's a lie. To me, it's 100%. Mm-hmm. When you commit a felony on the rez, they're shipping you, though, to Pierre or to Rapid City, one or the other, and you're going up the river to federal prison. That's all there is to it. And none of that 37% baloney, you know. But they're trying to sell that, to say that isn't true, you know. Not all Indians are getting this, you know, getting sent up the river. They're saying they reject a lot of them, but that's baloney.
Yep.
Yeah. that's a big bunch of baloney, because the prosecutor accepts everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yep.
He accepts everything. And, you know, that's a bunch of baloney. To lie and say only 37%, because look at how many Indian reservations we got in this country, and how many Indians from each reservation get sent up the river by the feds. There's a lot of them. These federal prisons, there's some federal prisons like Oxford, Wisconsin, that's probably 30-40% Indian, you know. And they usually scatter. The thing with Lakotas, they scatter Lakotas because they don't like a lot of Lakotas in one prison. And I know this for a fact because they even said why. One time I asked them why when I was in prison. They said because Lakotas have a bigger influence on the major population. And they're more able to incite violence and incite criminal activity against the government while in prison. That's why all these federal prisons, they'll send two or three Lakotas to one Lakota to another, one Lakota here, one Lakota there, mm-hmm. Unless it's a small crime.
Yeah.
But regular Lakota felonies, they ship Lakotas. That's why they have Lakotas all the way in Lewisburg.
Mm-hmm.
They have Lakotas in Marion. They Marion. Don't pile them up in one. You know, you try to get them to, well, send me to Colorado. That's closer to home. Colorado, the prison in Colorado, what's the name of it? And I don't know, brain lock, but that was for youth. The major penitentiaries in this country only have two or three Lakotas at a time in there. They won't, you know, park a bunch of them there. And the other thing they don't like about it is because once Lakotas show up, they whip out a drum some kind of way and start, once they use that drum, they start inciting the other natives, you know, and they don't like it.
Yeah. They get them all fired up.
You know? Yeah. Lakotas use a drum and they fire up the rest of the Indians, and they don't like that. They don't like our style is what it is. Like I was in Terre Haute, there was only three Lakotas, me and Iron Moccasin and another guy, Red Bear, showed up later, but we didn't all last there, you know. Anyway, Iron Moccasin got locked up. They shipped Little Joe Robinson to Lewisburg. They just don't like it. But what happened was the chaplain had a drum and a chanupa inside that some Lakota left, and he made a mistake. Oh, it was Philip Chips that was there with us. Well, when he whipped out that drum and that pipe, that was it. Asked him, hey, well, let us use that drum. We'll do it right here. We won't do it out there on the main line. All right. Pretty soon, we had all kinds of Indians up there in the church in the attic where he let us. We were having like power up there because that drum. And next thing you know, we had our first power. And next thing you know, what happened from there? We made it where we could have buffalo meat. You know, and they didn't like that at all. And how did we get buffalo meat in a federal prison? Because they tried to stop us and prevent it. But you see, the Jews And the other, the Italians and all them, they were the ones with the money. They knew part of this having buffalo meat, it would help them. So what happened? We couldn't afford to, they made, the prison made us buy. And they said, oh, wow, you can't do that. You can't do that. So we had to buy a whole buffalo. We bought a whole buffalo. They were shocked to hell that we did that. And then they said, well, you still can't bring it in because you got to have it butchered at a, what do they call it, USDA approved butcher. So those Italians had family that owned that. So we had that buffalo sent all the way to New Jersey where they butchered it up. They tried every way to stop it, but we brought that buffalo meat into prison legally, and we had buffalo
had the mafia helping
in the prison. And when did this happen? We did it on June 25th in celebration of Custer's defeat. And they're so stupid, none of them knew that we were celebrating Custer's defeat in federal prison because they didn't June 25th didn't snap to them. Yeah. So we had Italians, we had a powwow there. We were doing a round dance in the powwow with Italians and Mexicans and everybody, you know, because they all paid for this buffalo. But what happened, once we got that buffalo, it set a precedent, and the Jews were able to have land. You see, we opened the door for other cultures to start having their cultural food accepted in federal prison. We set a precedent, the Lakotas did, you know, and there was only three of us that did this, you know, me, Steve Tyen, and Alan Ironmoxon, three of us. Steve Tyen showed up there. And that's how we got buffalo meat. And Steve Tyen came up to me and said, hey, man, you know, he knew that I was in with the whole prison. I was there. I was in with the Italians, the Mexicans, and everything. So he asked me, he said, do you think we can get these people to back us up on the power? I said, hell yeah. So the warden, we asked the warden, he said, powwow? Yeah, we can have a powwow, you know. Yeah. So he said, all right. He said, but he didn't think we could do it. Well, I got a cop, not a cop, a free man, we call him, that worked in Federal Prison Industries to sponsor our group. So we got a white boy.
Hey, Tracy, you're celebrating Custer's last stand on their dime.
With the help of the New Jersey mafia doing the study. Yeah.
Butchered the buffalo. That mafia hooked us up.
Yeah. Mafia, the Jews money, and the Irish money, and the Italians. You know their connections. That warden was shit, and he couldn't believe we did all that shit. But you know, we did it. There was no way he could deny it. We had USDA. Buffalo cut by USDA. We legally purchased the buffalo, you know. Everything was legal. And then they're so dumb, they didn't realize what June 25th was about, why we went at the power. To them, it's just the date, you know. And then when they figured out, when they found out we were celebrating Custer's defeat on their territory, you know,
pretty
they
cool.
Probably will never let another powwow on June 25th after that.
Washington's were helping you celebrate the defeat of Custer. And to make it worse, it was the same cavalry that was there helping us celebrate.
Those cops are all proud guarding the powwow, standing around there, you know, watching these Indians celebrate Custer's defeat, you know. Indians,
yeah.
Mexicans, the Italian mafia, bigwigs too. These guys were the
Danny.
You know, bigwigs.
Yeah, that's pretty
Johnny
that's pretty
Taco
cool.
And all of them, you know. Bobby Insane, all these mafiosos are out there. You know,
yeah.
But they're the ones without they helped us get that buffalo all the way to the plate.
You see,
they don't like, that's why they don't like Lakotas, because Lakotas are powerful with the drum. They're powerful with the chanupa, and they have the influence to make things happen in every prison or wherever. That's why they have powwows all over the country. I mean, you go to Mississippi because there's always a Lakota behind something. When a Lakota moves to town, what does he do? He builds a sweat lodge. Next thing you know, he starts, you know, getting friends and buddies. Next thing you know, let's have a powwow. That's how the movement started in California with Lakota women. My mom, my aunt Hannah, Left Hand Bull, and them, they started gathering the Indian women together. This was back in the 50s. The next thing, the movie stars got involved in it, you know. And, you know, it just built up from there. And then the women were influential in California for all the stuff that happened, you know. But once they got it going, they had powwows, and now look at it. California is pretty powerful in Native traditional activities, you know, and it wasn't like that. You can ask my brother, you know, was there any powwows when we were in California? Hell no, you know. No such thing, no Larry. But I'll tell my mom and all of
there
them,
you, go,
you know. Yeah.
It's missing me.
Yeah.
It's missing me.
No, I was asking Larry. Hey, Larry, when we were in California on relocation, was there any powwows when we were small? There was no powwows until Mama and them made them, right?
Yeah. I mean,
there was no powwows in L.A., in California, until my mom, my aunt Hannah, and them gathered people and made a powwow.
Yeah.
And then powwows started happening. You know, Indians started being more prouder to gather, you know. And that's how that movement started, you know. Here I am bragging again, saying my mom and my Aunt Hannah, but, you know, that's a fact. You know, that's the truth. My Aunt Velma and, you know, how my mom and them wasn't going to live down there in California without socializing with other Indians. You know, they're Indian women, Lakota women. And what do Lakota women do? They still had their language. The other tribes didn't have language. My Aunt Hannah, my mom, and all, when Lakota showed up, they all talked Lakota, you know?
Yeah,
that's a hell of an influence. That's a hell of an influence when you got a culture of people strong in their cultural life, speaking the language, the spirituality, and the culture. And my mom and them, they knew how to feed.
That's cool.
You know, when we were small, this Indian named Rod Redwing, we were kids. He started they captured his attention. He worked for Hollywood, Rod Redwing. He was the one that trained all them white boys how to shoot a gun, draw. It was an Indian that taught all them you know, them sharpshooters when they draw. That was an Indian. This guy could put his hand he told a crowd, he said, put your hands 6 inches apart from each other. He said, when I count to three, clap, hit them together. So the whole audience did that. And by the time they clapped, he drew his pistols out and shot bottles off the fence in that split second. That's how fast he was. That's why Hollywood used him to train all them cowboys back in the 50s and 60s, you know, probably John Wayne too. You know, I don't know. But, you know, all them cowboys, Roy Rogers and all them ones that were back around back in them days, Cheyenne Bodie and all them.
wannabe cowboys.
Yeah. Victor Mature, remember he played?
Rifleman,
he played crazy. He was the first one to play crazy horse. Was Victor Mature. He played crazy horse. The first crazy horse actor was Victor Mature. And remember, he played Samson too, that sucker. You know? All around guy. Played Samson 1 year. Next year, he was playing crazy horse. The next year after that, he was playing a mafioso. Victor Mature. You know, but that's why, you know, but you see, that's why the Major Crimes Act, it's a big law today in this country. And why did they make it? Because of the Lakota. You know, they want to control us. That's why they made the Major Crimes Act. It had to do with Lakota. It didn't have to do with anybody else, you know. But they realized they need to have laws to stop us, you know, to, you know what I mean? Not because we're doing anything wrong, but was a good way to have control of us by making a law. In a Major Crimes Act. And that's why they did it, you know. And for anybody interested, you know, just look up Major Crimes Act. You'll see all the how it came out, how it got started, and why it got started. It will tell you, you know, like on Wikipedia, it tells you, you know. Well, they had the General Crimes Act in 1817. That was for federal jurisdiction against Native Americans. Then the Major Crimes Act broadened federal jurisdiction in Native territory by extending it to some crimes committed by Native Americans against Native Americans. And the one they used, the one that caused it, the Supreme Court United States ruling ex parte Crow Dog 1883 U.S. 556. That's when they made the Major Crimes Act, where Crow Dog, when he killed Spotted Tail. And you see, the whole country, the law, Indian laws, everything that they have, land and all the tribes and everything, has to do with them wanting to control Lakota. And that's, you know, and look, they didn't even keep no treaties. They didn't keep the treaties. You know, I always hear, I'm not trying to get on nobody, and you guys can spank me or somebody from the Seminole tribe, Florida, or Miccosukee tribe want to jump on me, they can. But the Seminole tribe and them never made a treaties with the U.S. government. You know, they're the only tribe never made a treaty with the U.S. government. And they take pride in that. They take pride in that because it makes them feel like warriors. Yeah, we didn't make no treaties and stuff. But let me tell you why they didn't make a treaty with them. Because they, with the Lakota, we had gold in the Black Hills, Oklahoma, all over the country. Indian lands were full of resources, over oil, gold, minerals, copper, all over the country. And that's why they subdued all these tribes and put them on these Indian reservations. And to keep them there, they made treaties with them because they wanted our gold, they wanted copper, all this stuff. But the reason why they didn't do that with the Seminoles is why. What did they, you know, what were they going to get out of the Seminole besides some swamps and alligators? They don't care about swamps and alligators. So they just let them keep their swamp and alligators. They didn't care about it, the government. That's why they didn't make treaties with the Seminole, because there was no reason to, you know? I mean, maybe somebody would want to attack me and tell me that's wrong, but show me it's wrong. Show me some proof that it's wrong. From what I understand, that was why. There was nothing the Seminoles' land had to offer. You know, white man didn't want to invade the swamps where the Seminoles lived. You know, they were the only ones who could live there. You know, it's like the stronghold, the Badlands. No Washichi wants to live out there in the Badlands the outskirt of the Badlands. You see Washichi houses and ranches, but right in the dead center of the Badlands, there ain't even a house out there. You know? And anyway, you know, you guys are turned on, Wayne, and I don't know, Jennifer, she's on too if she wants.
Yeah.
You know,
did we say a prayer yet?
Yeah. You must have been asleep snoring.
Yeah.
You're totally out of it. If you didn't know that.
Hey, he was the one farting.
Yeah.
Hey, he was the one farting, huh?
Yeah. How did you miss that? You know,
like you said, I was 40.
Yeah.
You know, hey, trust you, when you talk about the Seminole, you know, just think of how those guys did it. And these Washichas couldn't keep up with them. And, you know, they were dying of YOLO fever and all these things, And what they were doing was just picking them, hitting and running. Go back into the swamps. In these Washichus, man, when their people were dying, they were just throwing them overboard to feed the gators. You know what I mean? And that's how the Washichu is, see? They didn't care about their dead or anything. And they couldn't get the Seminoles, see? That's why they have no treaties with the Seminoles. And same with the Lumbee tribe, see? Those guys, they didn't pay attention to them. nasty until way later. But the Seminole, you know, they fought a pretty good battle. I love the way they did it, see? And we Lakotas are another one that we hung in there to the very end. They starved us. And our women and children.
Yeah, but you see, had something they wanted. They wanted that gold, our land, and all that. Seminoles don't have none of that. You know?
The Seminoles just
have gators, and now they have Burma pythons, you know? mosquitoes.
Mosquitoes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But us, they wanted us out of the way.
Yeah.
You know, they wanted us out of the way.
Yeah.
And
they wanted
that's why
they
fought
all
so hard.
You know, even up to this day, Tanshi, they're still after our minerals. Look what they're doing on our reservation now. There's some mining going on, and nobody knows what it's for. Maybe the tribal council does, but they're not letting the people know. See? So they don't know why they're mining up there by Lomblee. See? And the tribal council threatened the people that lived on there that were complaining. They were going to move them out if they kept complaining. The tribal council said this. And me and that district rep out there for Lomblee kind of got into it about that. You know, because, you know, they had no right threatening our people. They should be threatening those Washitos, the guys from Texas that moved in there doing this mining. Why are they threatening our people with eviction when they should tell that Washito to get the hell out of there? There's some minerals. They're after some kind of mineral. But they're saying they're using gravel and the highways as an excuse to make a big old hole. You know, it doesn't take a hole that big to dig gravel, see? But that's how they do
all that.
You know?
They're after
zeolite is
powerful. They use one of the main uses is cat litter. But I seen how they use zeolite. They put zeolite in bags. And they drop them in rivers and drop them. And they can stop a river with zeolite. They can stop. Actually, I seen them how they did it. They zeolite holds together like glue. And they can dam up a river just by dropping bags in a river. And they use zeolite for that. And also to clean up their oil messes because zeolite absorbs oil. So they hook up the zeolite when they're like in the ocean and all that, and it collects oil. So these are some of the reasons. And then there's probably a whole bunch of reasons they keep secret, you know. You know, they probably use zeolite. Probably helps them have sex better because you know how they are. Everything's about Washitu. The whole life is about sex. You know, they wake up to it. They go to sleep to it. They're the inventors. They're into Viagra. They're all the big cities. They have those rated X. I don't want to destroy, you know, talk bad about your side business, you know, but, you know, I'm just talking about them in general, the rated X shops, you know, Washitu made them, you know, in Hollywood, all these women, like, you know, they're all coming out with what made them start having, what made them start having, getting nude and all that. It was the Washitu, the directors. Hey, show a little here, show a little there, you know. They're into that, and at South, because sex sells in the Washita world, you know. And when you go to, if you go to prison, you know, and the prisoners in there, every prisoner has a hustle. Some sell dope, some sell hamburgers, some sell cheese, grilled cheese, some iron clothes, some do this. But they also got the Washita that runs around selling porno books, you know? And it's always a Washita porno book. And now that they got computers and that, they probably got chips full of that. But sex is a big deal with the Washita. That's what makes their world spin. That's why Donald Trump got rich. That's why he, you know, that's why, what's that guy's name? Hugh Hefner. Look at, he started Playboy. Got millionaire just from Playboy. And what's that guy? They shot him, Hustler, that guy, who, Larry Flint. You know, they're all white guys. Their world is totally different than us. Their needs are into our business. Why do they buy gold? You can't use gold for nothing, if you think about it. What can you use gold for? But they use it to make rings so they can scheme and catch women. Do you agree or don't you agree? Huh? Why do
now
they
for
use
computer
gold?
Products too. Computer products too for conductors.
Yeah. But okay,
that's
but
minimal.
Wayne, but Wayne, you're very young. You're very young. We're talking about gold been around for, in this country, for 200 years, way before computers existed. You know, now they're putting gold into panties. They're putting gold into, the Chinese are, they're putting gold into some food, cake designs. Eatable gold. So now it's different. But in general, we're talking about the use of gold for the last, since they came over here. Their only use for gold is what? It's a show-off mineral or metal, right? They wasn't having computers back in the 1870 when Custer, 1868 when Custer and them was invading the Black Hills for gold. What was they using gold for? Because gold is used for money. And why is it used for money? Because they can make jewelry out of gold. And why do they make jewelry? What is jewelry for? For, you know, it all boils down to scheming, where the bottom line is sex. Because, you know, you give a white girl a gold ring, and boy, she's ready to shell out. You know what I mean? Gold is everything to that race of people. And they use it for power, because gold is valuable. Earrings, rings, necklaces, you know. Now people even have a gold teeth, don't you know? No? Some of them, I even know this house up, I'll put gold teeth and put a diamond in the middle of it, you know. And they had, he had a hole drilled right in the middle of two of them so that when he spit, he could spit cool. And shoot it out really cool, you know. But kind of get away from it. But the real reason for gold back in the day, tell me another reason, Wayne. Why was gold important in 1900, 1868,
well,
1870? Tell me why.
You mentioned the word earlier, about you being in prison when it comes to commerce, okay? The word jewelry, only thing you have to do is just break it down in its word, mostly the first three letters. But I don't want to get us, you know, intertwined with being called anti-Semitic.
Yeah. Well,
because they're the ones
who
develop
the
economy. Yeah, but, you know, it's an economic factor to it.
But how did gold become valuable to them and anybody else? How? What was the use of gold?
Oh, yep. To brainwash people.
Exactly.
It's to brainwash people. Oh, diamonds are precious, you know, gold ring with a diamond in it, you know. That's it.
Yep.
Get in someone's pants or lock in someone's pants with a piece of gold around someone's a marriage ring or a ring finger. You know what I mean?
Gold is the key to, a mating key, I guess you could call it, you know, for mating and stuff. For them, not for us. Lakota, gold is just, gold is just another rock, you know. All rocks are sacred to us. But we had gold in the Black Hills. Was Crazy Horse and them running around with gold necklaces? You know? Hell no.
Crazy Horse, my
crazy. What do you think, Tashi, about gold?
Just think of how Itzcoatzcoatl these Wasichos are over a piece of metal. Look at what's going on right now. These catalytic converters. What's inside of there? See? That precious metal that's inside of these catalytic converters, and these guys are going nuts for that, see? They're cutting these catalytic converters off these cars. You know, no matter what the government does, these guys are still going to do it because there's big money involved in that, see? How much does one catalytic converter cost out here? You know, you're talking about $1,800, between $800 to $1,800 for one little one. See, and that's, they call it precious metal. You know, they put a value on something like gold. You know, we never had use for gold, you know? What's that?
What is catalytic converters made of?
What do they call that? What the heck do they call that? It's that same stuff that the remember that jet that was flying out of space and come back in the wings. Just the outer wings of it. That's what's put in
platinum.
Those catalytic converters. Platinum is, I don't know what the heck they call it.
Palladium and rhodium.
Yeah, but it's so precious that it's like a reburner in these catalytic converters. And it just keeps, like, redoing it. See? There's no end to it. It'll keep, in other words, it cleans up the oil that passes out of the engine. And it burns it there for cleaner air to go on out of the tailpipe. And these people are paying big dollars for just a little bit of that stuff, see. And that's why these guys are going nuts in these cities and places, cutting off, even Rapid City. You see some of these guys, make this guy famous. He's a catalytic converter thief, you know. But that's what they call it. See, they're going nuts for that now. Because of the value of just a little bit of that stuff inside of there. Anytime there's value, like this gold, the only reason why they made it popular was the queens and the kings, shiny metal. They made everything. They wanted to shine themselves up, you know. Probably made bloomers out of them or something for these women over there, you know what I mean? And that's why they did that, you know. And Wasichu, anytime they find something they say is of value, look at Elon Musk now, trying to mass produce these batteries. Look at the killing he's doing, see? These are things that once something becomes precious metal, gold, like to the Washitu, could be used over and over and over and over, see? And it's used in all kinds of parts in these computer. I mean, there's all kinds of uses for it. So it's called a precious metal. That's why it holds its values. And to them, to Lakotas, it was a rock. It was an Ian that was there, you know. It had no value to us. But to these Washichus, they went nuts for it. And they still go nuts for it. Look what they're doing to Alaska. You know, look at these places where these, you know, they wipe out, acres and thousands of acres of land just for a couple ounces of gold. Ounces, we're not talking about pounds.
Yeah.
You know, that's how greedy and how destructive the Washitu is when they're paying $1,000 an ounce for this stuff, see? That's what they do. They don't care. They destroy all that land that these animals use. And they say, oh, we're rebuilding it. We're going to make it beautiful. No, all the stuff that you killed in that area, what about them that had the right to live? The Mitake, you talk about Mitake Yasi, there it is. You're destroying all that. And it's still happening today, see? Look at in Nevada. There's these gold miners, they don't want to go into Nevada unless there's, I don't know, so many ounces per I don't know what it is they go by, but they don't want to do nothing unless there's big value, gold value
check,
in it. See?
Check this out. I just found something. Platinum back in 2001 cost $530 per ounce in 2001.
Yeah.
And then it went up to 1,100 in 2021. Mm-hmm. Right now, it's up to 2,400 ounce.
Platinum. And that's what's in catalytic converter.
And they have palladium and rhodium.
Yeah, see. And now you can understand why these guys are attacking these catalytic converters.
They're stealing out of car lots.
Yeah, they're stealing them out of car lots down here, Tanshi. They're even doing it right on the street in broad daylight. They don't care.
Can you believe this? That rhodium costs $18,000 an ounce.
Yep. And just think, like I say, to replace the catalytic converter down here, just think, you're paying anywhere from what, 800 to some of these people are paying something like $40,000 for a catalytic converter, you know, and that's just, you know, how these guys, that's why I say these guys that are stealing this stuff, they don't care. There's Mazda Ska, see? All this stuff is Mazda Ska, and there's some cars that are more valuable than others because of what they get, what these catalytic converters have in them. So they target these vehicles down here. But any catalytic converter is a good deal down here, and they'll do it. As a matter of fact, my neighbor just the other day, they went outside and started their car. The catalytic converter was gone. You know, that's right next door to us, and nobody knew they cut it off.
I think that's what they did to my pickup, and I didn't even know it because all of a sudden my pickup was sounding like a truck.
Yeah.
You know,
probably.
And I looked under, and you know what? My muffler wasn't, my pipe wasn't even hooked up to the front.
Yep. They probably did take your catalytic converter. You don't even know.
Yeah.
These guys like these vehicles that are higher, or some of these catalytic converters hang close to the side of the vehicle where they just reach under with the sawzall and just, you know, one of these quiet sawzalls and chop them off, drop them, and just walk away with them. They do this in broad daylight down here because there's big money in it. And they're trying to make it. They made it illegal, but that don't stop them because there's big money in it. See, and they're, what is
yeah,
it? They're getting some $800 a catalytic converter.
They said usually a salvage yard buys parts to resell them, except for catalytic converters. What they're doing is turning them into a place to break them down and sell them as the metal.
That's just metal. You know, these junkyards over here making big by doing that. They cut just as soon as a car comes in, they cut the catalytic converter off. And what, you know, so after that, it's all profit for them. See, from just think about that. See, one catalytic converter probably pays for 5 or 6 of those cars coming in with catalytic converters, maybe even more. So it's a big business. That's how Washitos look at it. Anytime they say precious metal, and that's what I tell you about these mining. Look at Alaska. Look at what they're doing up there now. They got those guys on TV. Big miners. They're doing this. All for what? Ounces of gold destroying thousands and thousands of acres, man. Why?
Yeah.
You know? And nobody, these Washitos ain't saying nothing about it. Oh, they're doing a good thing, you know. And the government's behind them, you know. They're sick people, these Washitos, when it comes to minerals, stealing minerals. They're the greatest people at that. That's what I say. I'm glad these guys in Hawaii kicked the shit out of that guy for you know. I'm proud of those guys, man. Those are my bros that did that, you know.
You know why? Because they did a good thing.
Heck yeah. Those are my bros, you know.
They get it. They did a good thing.
Yeah. You know, Percy, if they ever come down and tell me they were the ones, I'll sing my honor song.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They deserve an honor song, you know.
Yeah. You know,
that's a good thing,
yeah. I'm proud of those guys, man. I don't know how other people feel, but, you know, anytime you take up for mama, inama koche, you know, that to me, that's a good thing, you know. The water, you're protecting the water. You myself, that's a good thing. When you're killing cops that are harassing Indians all the time, to me, that's a good thing.
Remember?
You know?
Remember that song, Dolly Parton and Kenny Rogers? This is the year for the real thing. I heard this Mexican guy, he said, this is the year for the real thing. This is the year for the real thing. I thought of that when he said it. I said, that's a good
a
thing.
Real thing.
I thought of this is the year real thing.
Real thing, man.
Well, so, sorry, but you know, Lakota, that's a bad thing about us. We turn everything into something funny.
You know, Coachy, when you put
go ahead.
Any kind of mineral like that above human life. To me, there's something wrong in the head, and that's these Washitos, you know. Look at this guy called Elon Musk, you know. Look at this guy called Trump.
What?
And, you know, look at
that's
how these guys
act.
That's
a name, huh?
Yeah.
Elon Musk. Musk is something to do with smell, ain't it? Musk.
Yeah, it's
that's
stinky.
A musky.
It's stinky. It means you're stinky, you know? Not stinky, stanky.
You know, over here in Rosebud, we got people with the last name Assman.
Yeah. You know, look at back home. We got these people called Tezokwe, Rotten Gut, you know?
Right. Oh,
you know, there's even a guy called Unspoka, you know, fart ass, you know.
Yeah.
You know, good names. Those are real names.
Don't go no further. My brother's going to bring out my nickname again.
He's over here laughing, man. Shaking his head. He's getting some ideas over here, man.
Yeah.
Stanky, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I had a good nickname. I was proud of it because I didn't know what it meant.
That's right, Tunchy. You know, I'm proud of you, man. That's your name. You know, that's good.
Yeah,
Lakota
name. Hey, Pops, what's my Lakota name? He told me, Wastelo.
You know,
didn't know what I meant.
Think about this. How many people are proud of those names? Shit, I am, you know. That's a Lakota name. It's got real meaning, you know what I mean? Ukjemina means, you know, that means Ukjemina, you know.
Yeah.
That's a good thing, see. That's a real Lakota name. And that's something to be proud of, you know. Me, myself, that's well-educated, you know. That's, you know, Lakota, that's that, proud of that, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it's better than Smith or Johnson or one of these ones that don't mean nothing, you know. You know, those ain't real names. Those are fake names.
Yeah. Like, what the hell? You know, Franklin.
Yeah.
What does that mean? You know, what does, Johnson, that just means John's son, huh?
I guess, you know, how about Washington?
Yeah.
What the hell is Washington? You know, Washington.
Oh, Washington. He's washing. That's because his wife made him wash a ton.
Okay, that never
he's
thought of that. That never really got it.
She made him. She had him washing a ton, you know. Yeah.
And what's a lanky?
You
know, you know, that Indian killer Lankin.
Yeah.
You know what? That was a Lankin.
If you try to decipher their names, man, you get go off into some mean ones, huh? You know?
Yeah. You know, especially think about that. That's why they have no Nagi, you know what I mean? Nagi Chola, you know, those people. There's no meaning behind it.
Yeah.
That's why they're so destructive. Nagi Chola. They got no Nagi. We do. We still, you know, me and the old lady talked about that. We Indians don't know how to be greedy. You know, like I said, if I ever got $1 million, there'd be some happy people, Kanshi, you know what I mean? And it probably only lasts a couple of days. You know what I mean? And these Wasichus, they don't think like that, see? Me, I have relations. I have Wotakuye, you know, people that mean something to me, you know? And that generosity, we've always came with that. Bakuntunka made us that way. See? So we're miles apart from these greedy Washichus, you know, like you were saying, these people up there in Hawaii that did this to that Washichu. To me, they did good because they were protecting something real. Not something, you know, that Washichu guy, he could pinch off that pig, kill all, you know, do all these things. He's not going to take it with him when he dies, you know. And yet, he wants to keep the original people out of there. If anything, he ought to give it back to them, you know. That's what he ought to do.
Yeah.
You know.
Wow. You know,
to deny the real people.
You know, the other thing I was going to mention, you know, is how people get offended, you know, and like this one Washichu, I had you know, on Facebook, because I made this comment, because this Washichu said, you know, our country is losing reality, So I commented to him. I said, you never had reality.
Yeah.
I said, calling yourself American proves you have no reality, you know, because there's no such thing as American. They made it all up, you know. But this Washichu kind of got on my case, tried to get on my case, you know. And he said, he said, you feel that? I didn't even mention his name just because I put that post. He said, you feel that I'm inferior to you because I am mostly white. He said, my grandfather had one full Native father and a mixed mother, but I'm not as good because of the mixed blood. He said, you're pretty rude, brother. He told me that, you know. I'm pretty rude.
Don't call me brother then.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing with these guys. They claim something, you know, and yet they want to be American. What is that all about? Like he said, oh, I have some Indian in me over here, way over here. And now he's an American? That's how confused they are.
There's a guy that plays in Leonard Skinner now, not one of the original guys. His name is Rick Medlock. And he started a band called Blackfoot. You know, he's trying to use his say he's Indian, but he's, you know, the whole band is white, you know. And they're Cherokee Cree. Well, he says the Sioux. A long time ago, I interviewed him on the radio on Keeley. You know, he was trying to promo his band.
Yeah.
And I asked him about that. I said, who's your father? You know, and he kept changing the subject. So I just quit asking him. But you see, these guys are just liars.
Yep.
They wanna lie and say they're Lakota, you know, and they're famous people, you know.
Yep.
He's kind of half-assed famous, you know, and he wants to say he's Native, so his father is Lakota Sioux and Blackfoot.
Yeah.
Then his mom is Cree, Cherokee, Irish, and what's the other? Scottish and Irish. That's his mom. You know?
Yeah.
You know, and I said, well, you know, because I heard him comment one time, I said, you know, you should just be proud of your Cree and your Cherokee side. Even be proud of your Scottish and Irish side. I said, but don't claim Lakota because it sounds better to you when you can't even back up who you're from, you know? You know, the thing is, when they claim Lakota, we know who each other is. Who's your dad, you know? Tell us who your dad is, and let's go from there, you know? But he couldn't even do that, you know what I mean? Anyway, Rick Medlock, if you're listening, who's your dad? You know, tell us who you are. Quit bullshitting. You know. Anyway, where we at? Oh, shit. Time flying again. Hey, any last comments, Wayne?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I noticed too, step back and circling back to those Hawaiian guys that beat up that Washichu. You know, I realized something. See, they want to victimize everybody, but when they become victimized themselves, they want to play the victim, okay? After they go out and hurt everybody, you know? But they don't have a problem taking land and whatnot. But anyways, other than that, good show.
Hey, they said, what, they're saying we have to move our clock up an hour already?
Yeah.
Is that really what's happening tonight?
Yep. We're moving it to 1 hour forward.
Okay.
Okay.
So what time do we do that?
midnight.
Like 2 o'clock in the morning.
So in other words, if we moved it an hour up, then we're already over our time, huh?
Yep. Not yet.
4 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
We still got 4 minutes left, huh?
Yeah. We got getting over on them some kind of way, you know.
Yeah, there you go.
But
we gotta think Washington here.
Yeah. Take advantage of it, you know. Just like I said, doing a powwow on June 25th, and they don't even know why we're celebrating.
That's all right, but I love that.
Yeah.
Government. Government celebrating, putting on your celebration, you know. Our state, Chicago.
Yeah.
Help us celebrate.
Help us celebrate. Kicking Cousins out, Warden. Mr. Warden, help us celebrate.
That's pretty damn cool. That was cool.
Yeah.
I like that.
But anyway.
All right.
But, Toshi, you have to take over now because it's that time.
Aho. We'll say a quick turn. We'll end the show. Thanks all you listeners.
Wait a minute. Let Wayne know so he don't go to sleep. Wayne.
Hey, Wayne. We're going to say a prayer before we get off air here. So
yeah. Don't worry. I'm not going to run out of the room.
No, don't fart.
Yeah.
You know, hang in there until we get done. All right. We'll say a prayer and
keep it tight
our beautiful
so you can hear the prayer. Keep it tight so you can hear the prayer.
Point. Hey, I'm going to say a prayer and we'll end our show here.
Okay, we're going to take off, and like I said, thank everybody for being here once again, and, you know, all your listeners out there, appreciate it. And John Davis, thank you for stopping in again. He's always tuned in with us. And everybody out there, you know, all of those out there, and even that guy who hates our ass, thank you for listening. What's that Washita's name that comes on? Yeah, we got a block, so he calls us cowards. Anyway, thank you for listening. You know, dope shot. And we're going to head out.
You know, your son should die at all. Ha elvecsütöm, én a tapsapettől most így jusskiál kevonkicsi látok.